Wednesday night Bible study on difficult passages. We just concluded three Wednesday nights on the study of predestination. As we mentioned, there's so much more to be said on that. It'd take up probably a year or more. But we had those three studies. We're going to be looking tonight at 1st and 2nd Peter. And I guess I was titled The Simplicity of the Scriptures. I was reading through the news today on WKYT on the internet. And something kind of caught my eye. It's from a church in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. And it worked in an effort to reach young families. The Grove United Methodist Church is telling the old folks to get out. The struggling church wants to build a new congregation with a more youthful bent. And we can see very well today the way that denominations are going, this introduction of new things into the worship to appease not so much to the old, but to the new, to get them there in that. And also, Churches of Christ now are doing the same thing. He says, I pray for this church, getting through this age discrimination thing, William Gaxeter said, one of those no longer there, that he told the St. Paul Pioneer Press. The plan is to shut down the church in June and reopen a rebranded version probably in November. A church memo recommends older members stay away for a couple of years and then consult with a pastor if they'd like to rejoin. Most members of the congregation are 60 years old. He says this is totally wrong, according to his wife, Cheryl. They are discriminating against us because of our age. The church averages about 25 people in worship each week. There's no full-time pastor, so a member of the church delivers the sermons. And so you have this denomination, the idea of going with a more young, up-tempo type church that appeases to the young folks, that you get them in there. And you see that, especially when you look at the Creek Church, the music and all that goes on there. It's appeasing to the younger type people. Again, I know of a church here, a so-called, that claimed to be a Church of Christ. Likewise, a lot of older members left because they started appeasing to the younger folks here in Laurel County. And so it's something that we deal with. And why? And I thought, why and what would references have with tonight's lesson? Why would they do that? If they know plainly what the Scriptures teach that, why would they make this appeal or do these things that they're doing? I can understand it in a way as far as denominations, but why would those who profess to be members of the Lord's kingdom act that way? And I think the same thing that causes a denomination church to do it, the same reason it causes the so-called Churches of Christ. It's just a lack of knowledge, the ignorance of the Scriptures. The ignorance of God's Word is both alarming and appalling. In a country where Bibles are available at a very low amount of money, so few people seem willing to pay the price of diligent study that they might obtain knowledge of God's Word. And one thing from the brethren and those who teach classes, the church here encourages study. That we've got to be accountable for ourselves before God. And I can't get in there and say, Mark taught me wrong. I cannot plead ignorance, but I will be judged because of my ignorance. But it goes on in the world today. The lack of faith is seen when religious people attack the trustworthiness of the Scriptures to make them fit what they believe. Basically, that describes denominationalism as well as some Churches of Christ. They want to fit their lifestyle, make them feel good. So they twist, as we look at Peter, they twist or something the Scriptures to their own liking, and they can get by with it because the people they're teaching don't know no better. And so that's the reason the brethren here encourage you to study. That you need to know what I'm teaching, you need to know what Donnie's teaching, you need to know what Larry's teaching, Ray's teaching. The brethren that bring and teach classes, and Garrett that preaches these lessons, you need to know if what they're saying is correct. And I understand they may be difficult passages, but more or less, the Bible is easy to understand. That God has given us things, when you look at the plan of salvation, how much simpler could God have made the plan of salvation? How much easier could God, the worship that we enjoy, how much easier could God have made that? How much easier could God have made marriage among man and woman? How much easier? If you cannot understand that, what are you going to do? Things that are a little bit more difficult, which they too can be understood. But a lack of faith is seen when religious people attack the trustworthiness of the Scriptures to make them fit what they believe. The lack of faith in the Scriptures is shown in much preaching, which simply ignores the Scriptures. We know a preacher in Florida that have a 55-minute lesson to tell tales for 50 of them. He would start with Scriptures, and then get sidetracked, and that's all you heard. A Church of Christ preacher. And then take the phone as if he was the Pope when he goes down to the big rocking chair right after it was over. And so, folks, it's coming slowly and gradually into the church. People don't want to go the old ways. They want the new innovative, which makes them feel better. People who have every right to hear a message from God are denied the privilege because the only source of that message, the Scripture, is not proclaimed. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is proclaiming that. And we're taking away the Scriptures when we do not do that. Even on the part of those who quote Scriptures, verses are sometimes taken out of context, or some Bible doctrine is emphasized to the extent that other biblical doctrines are minimized or ignored. We looked at this in our study of predestination. Those people who believe in that take a few verses and completely ignore everything else that is said in the Scriptures. And people who do not know the unlearned, as Peter deals with, know no better than accept what is being taught. The Scriptures must not be improperly handled. Otherwise, Paul's admonition is meaningless. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, when you turn there, Paul tells how we are to handle the Scriptures. And he says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some verses may render it handling aright the word of truth, that we handle correctly the word of truth that God has given us. For this, we will be judged if we make the wrong applications. God's truth is clear. People can learn and be set free from sin. John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth. Again, this idea of something you know, it's knowledgeable to you, you understand it. And if you do that, then it says this truth will set you free. If you know the plan of salvation. And I think Peter deals with that. Those people to whom he was writing knew what to do in order to have their sins forgiven. But there are many people today who believe God's Word, who respect the authority of Scripture, and who are determined to live by God's Word and die in hope and then live eternally with God. There's many people there. We hear that's our hope, that we believe in God's Word. We respect the authority of the Scriptures. We're determined to live by that God's Word, even though He may cost us many friends in life, even many family members in life. And we want to die in that hope. And we want to live eternally with God. And again, no one here would deny that's what they hope for. The book of 2 Peter, and we'll look at a few verses of 1 Peter, but the book of 2 Peter shows the beauty and simplicity that the Scriptures can be understood. Peter makes remarks in these two letters that the Scriptures can be understood. The theme of 2 Peter is knowledge. When you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll read verses 14 through 18. Again, the theme of 2 Peter is knowledge.
Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
Peter says, wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, what such things? When this heaven and earth are dissolved and this promise of God that we can be with him eternally. He says, looking for in verse 12, and hasten to the coming day of God, when the heavens being on fire will be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, what promise? A new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what we look forward to. This old world being dissolved and all the sinfulness and all that goes with it. That's what we look forward to. That's what we have hope in. He talks about, wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot, without sin, being blameless. He talks about how we do that, verse 18, to grow, that you reach this age of maturity in our life, that sin, we can overcome the sin that we have, and we are to grow in knowledge. So it's something that they stressed, the idea of knowledge. But at times, there are some difficulties in understanding certain scriptures. I think we would all agree that. I think Donnie's made the point time to time, it's not impossible. Sometimes it takes just a little bit of the old saying, elbow grease, and get out and look at other scriptures in comparison and come to a conclusion. We have studied what certain people perceived as certain contradictions in the Bible. We know that goes on in their study of what people say there's contradictions in the Bible. Well, that they are not. The difficulties in the scriptures may be seen in the disagreement brethren have to the correct explanation of a passage. And that's what a study is for. We may have a different thought concerning a certain passage, but the passage only teaches one way. And so the idea that one's right, the other's wrong, or all is wrong, but all can't be right. So a lot of times disagreement, and I know where that's taken place before, and I'm sure you have too. But we are to continue to study on that, to come to a knowledge of that. Paul, in writing his epistles, wrote exactly what he was told to write by the Holy Ghost. In chapter 3 and verse 15, Peter there says, on account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given him. Who gave him this wisdom? God did, through the Holy Spirit. Gave him the wisdom. And he wrote what the Holy Spirit directed him to write. So we have God's truth in that. Just as those who wrote the Old Testament were inspired by God to do so, the New Testament scriptures and the writers likewise have the same Spirit directing them. They wrote exactly what God wanted them to write, in the very words he wanted them to use. They did not implement their words in place of what God told them to write. In 2 Peter chapter 1, or verse 20 and 21, Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. Again, when we interpret a Scripture, it should not be our private interpretation, but what the Holy Spirit meant for those verses to say. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So what they were speaking was not their words, but that which the Holy Spirit told them to speak. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, said, I wrote the commandments of God. So Paul likewise, through the Holy Spirit, wrote what God told him to write. And therefore we have this pure, unadulterated word with us today. Any thoughts from anyone? Again, if you think I make misapplication, please speak up. Don't let me hang in there with a false statement or a wrong verse. If the Bible is the inspired Word of God, then why do we find difficulties in the Scripture? I'd say this is what people claim. There's difficulties in the Scripture. And sometimes that may be true. Larry and I, or Mark and I could talk, or Ray and I could talk, and we'd be saying some things and not really understand what each other's saying. That's how important. Surely that's it. What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, I know what I'm talking about. She don't. And so it's vice versa, too. She says that, I don't know. But, you know, we can understand that in everyday language. And so, why do we find difficulties? One reason is the language. And we've touched on this before. God communicated His will to man who employed human language. When you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Gary, if you will, read verses 9 through 13.
Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words.
Paul here says it is written in verse 9, and it is not written with human words or human wisdom. The wisdom which is from above is what Paul had. And so whatever the Holy Spirit directed him to use, what words, we may have difficulty as we've looked at understanding those words because we try to make the words apply what they mean today. It's something we've touched on before. We need to study. We have Strong's and Vines can have definitions, words for you, can tell you what these words meant. We need to make the most used available study things we've got to understand the Bible. When man attempts to communicate with other man, again, there's often misunderstanding because of the language or a word I may use that they do not, I don't handle a certain thing properly. And that takes place in the Scriptures, that I am to handle aright or rightly divide God's Word. Every day talking with someone, sometimes misunderstanding takes place in the conversation. We fail to communicate one's thought, and I'm sure we've all experienced that in our life in talking to friends, neighbors, loved ones, or whoever. But it's also in the Bible that we need to understand what a Scripture is teaching, that we can communicate that thought as the Holy Spirit communicates that thought to the writers of that. That we make the same application that the Holy Spirit intended that. And therefore, that will take study, and it will take knowledge of words, knowledge of context, and so forth. If this takes place in an everyday conversation, again, that people we cannot communicate with people, think about the problems informing people about the spiritual values. If we cannot communicate worldly thoughts, what about spiritual thoughts? And it's something that I'm sure, that we've all went through this. But it's something that we work on. And that comes through learning of how to communicate God's Word to others. Jan and I have been involved with a study man and wife. He didn't graduate high school. But as you communicate these simple things that we were going over with, he said, I understand. It doesn't require a great education to understand the plan of salvation. But when you can show scriptures and how those scriptures harmonize, and there's no contradictions in them, then people are going to understand the Bible. But if I do not understand fully the plan of salvation, and I'm trying to teach that to someone, then I'm making a bigger mess out of it than what I should be making. We need to understand when we sit down with somebody, we need to know what we're teaching. And again, that takes, if you will, preparation. Peter wrote concerning this in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. As we read, as Ray read earlier for us, when he talks about Paul and his writings, after he talks about some things that be hard to understood, he goes on to say, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures under their own destruction. Could these words be described to you that you're unlearned and you're unstable in teaching the gospel? The word unlearned are those people who do not have an accurate knowledge of God's Word. And again, we understand that this does not take place overnight. It will take place over the course of a week, a month, or year, or years. This is an ongoing growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But to me, there's some basic fundamentals. If we're going to teach, we need to know the plan of salvation. If any other thing you need to know first, that is first. Because that's where teaching begins. And so we need to know what the Word teaches on that. And we need to be able to show it to people that they say, well, yeah, now I understand.
Yeah. Speaking of teaching, I had a kid today who we were studying for a test, or they were supposed to be studying for a test. And they're like, why are you the hardest teacher in the entire building? Everyone has come to the agreement you are the hardest teacher in the school. And I was like, but I wrote down all this information and I typed it up to where you can read it and I put it in lights in front of you. I then explained it. Then I drew diagrams of it. Then I gave you some papers for you to practice it. Then I went over the answers of that with you. Then I gave you time in class to study that exact same material. I ask you to ask me questions about it. And you say, but I don't understand. The point isn't that I haven't tried to teach you. It's do you want to know? So the heart that wants to know makes a big difference as well. So it's hard to teach someone who doesn't want to hear the truth or what you're telling them.
That reminds me of Philip and the eunuch in Philip's preaching. He preached in such a way that the eunuch said, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? Do you think he understood Philip's preaching, that he would ask such a question? Sure. So the unlearned, unstable, rest the scriptures. These people may indeed know many verses of scriptures. And the people we're studying with, his wife, can quote many scriptures. But she makes the wrong application to them. It's not just knowing that you can quote a scripture. And I've heard they say, well, so-and-so reads his Bible all the time. Well, that's good. But do you understand what you're reading? Again, then, that's what we need to keep in mind. And it's been a good study that we've had. And they said they learned a lot. And I hope they still ongoing, so he may produce, if you will, some fruit. But they may know many verses, but the lack of knowledge, they fail to see each part or other verses that deal on the same subject and are relevant to the matter. Again, when you gather information, you gather all the information on a certain subject or a person, then you put all that information together and you come at a conclusion on that.
Yeah.
Yes?
You know, sometimes we have, I know it's abrasive at times, but as Church of Christ people, we do need to challenge other people with their beliefs, because I've known several people like I read the Bible through every year, but yet they keep coming up with the same conclusion, and it's because they have the same preconceived notions. So I think that we need to challenge these people. Have you thought about this? Because they'll keep reading and still come up with the same answer with the same preconceived notions.
If you read just to be reading, just to be reading and be done. But as you're reading, if you come upon a phrase or a word that you do not know what it means, do you stop at that point in your reading and go look that word up, what it means to that scripture? Or you just read it and go on and don't really care what the word means? Again, words mean something, or else the Holy Spirit would not have put them in this book that we have. Every word is important. It's wrote just the way God wanted it wrote. And so we need to keep that in mind. Unsteadfastness are those who lack a firm conviction and who are described in Paul's writing in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. They're tossed to and fro. Many members in the Lord's church fit this scripture. They'll just believe anything because they know no better. Or they've got confidence in their preacher, or their elders, or their parents maybe. Where's our confidence to be? Mine's not to be in Shirley. Her confidence is not to be in me concerning the Scripture, but where's our confidence at? In God and His Word. That's where we place our confidence. Because she can make a mistake, I can make a mistake. These people are ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. Paul says right to Timothy, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. What does that verse mean? You're ever learning, but you can't get to where you're going. What does it mean?
A lot of times you learn the wrong things. You can learn all kinds of little facts, but I mean, if they're not properly put together, there's still a lack of understanding. Or you don't learn what's vital. I think that's another thing. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew a lot of things, but Christ said, but you don't really understand, or you refuse to acknowledge who I am. So I mean, I don't think anybody would doubt that they probably knew a lot about what the Old Testament said, but they didn't understand it at the same time.
The thought, when you look at it, it's just ever learning. Whatever they were learning was not producing knowledge. That's what Peter said, ever learning, but you're never able to obtain knowledge from what you're learning. Which would imply what?
I think one thing, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, in verse 21 of chapter 1, he says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So, I mean, they may have learned a lot of things, but they didn't learn who God was as a result of what they were learning.
Good thought. Anyone else?
Many people learn, but they're not willing to apply what they learn, because it's going to change their lifestyle too much. But another authority or something, they don't want that. Even though they learn what to do, they're going to do it.
I know an individual like that, and he's in our family. Probably knows more scripture than anybody in the family. But will not make it happen to his life. Ever learn it. There are certain principles or commandments we must know and obey if we are to be saved. And others must be saved too. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Peter there says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure, fervent heart. God's plan of salvation has not changed. The idea that those rest the Scriptures mean they twist them to fit what they want them to believe. So you have what the world teaches concerning salvation. And now even the churches of Christ are going away from the plan of salvation. Get another page, Susan. We'll stop there and pick this study up next Wednesday, Lord's willing. We'll probably get into another class. Any questions from anyone?